Hey, I wanted to thank all of our partners, especially those who stand with us financially, because at Life Church, we extend hope and health and so many great things to so many people in our four campuses and beyond. And all that's possible because of the generosity of God's people. So this is more than a message. This is our Vision Sunday. We're calling it Miracle in Motion because when God gave His Son Jesus, He gave His very best. And Shala and I and our team are so humbled by the generosity of God's people. So we thank God for all of our partners and we pray that as you're generous, God would fulfill the dreams and visions that He's placed in your heart. As we get started today and open the Word of God together, many of you may know our story, my story, Charlotte and my story, where we could not have children. It was impossible for us to conceive because of a medical condition that Charlotte has that's very, very rare, one in 25,000 people, which means that in the 65 million people in Great Britain, less than 3,000 people have her condition, her medical condition, which meant doctors said it would be impossible for us to have children. But there was a day on the 25th of July in 2003 when everything changed because we had a scan, a picture of our future. My wife was pregnant, and this is the scan. Yeah, you can see the little baby. It looks just like me, doesn't it? And then the baby would grow and develop. A few months later, then we see my beautiful, beautiful daughter. And the scan made everything real. The years of waiting and the years of believing suddenly became real. And as I think about our vision, vision is the ultra scan X-ray that makes what's about to happen possible for each and every one of us. I'm going to give you three reasons, three points about vision. And my first one is this, that vision makes the unseen seen. If we could take an ultrasound, a scan of what's in your heart as you've come today, what are you believing for? What's incubating? What's inside of you? What's growing in you about your future? Because vision is like that. Vision is all-compassing. It's all-growing. And that's why vision is so vital to our house and to everything that we do in life. The Bible says this. I'm going to give you three, and then later on, another definition of the same scripture as we dig into the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says this as it defines what faith is. That now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not yet seen. Faith is a spiritual scan. And once we have faith in our heart, we know faith will develop. We don't always know what will turn out. We don't always know the steps along the way. All we know is that faith will move us forward. And the challenge is to keep moving forward, keep finding those steps of faith. And that's why we go back to what the Bible teaches. So we get it in our soul realm. Our spirit is strong. The Bible teaches that we're spirit, soul, and body. But getting faith into our soul is where we need it most. We have confidence that if we have faith in our soul, it will develop, which is why a different Bible version says this. It says, now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Say that word with me, confidence. Confidence. Confidence is as we do what we can do, we're confident that God will do only what God can do. Even in the areas that are yet unseen, we know we have confidence because of who God is. When we went to Africa with our family on our first ever mission trip, and I shared that story about how my wife forgot to give me my passport. We went and we had a scan, we had an ultrasound scan of what will develop in our mission in Africa. You see, another Bible verse, and I love digging into the Bible and meditating and reflecting it and staying in it until it gets strong in my soul, goes on to say this. Hebrews 11:1 again says that now faith brings our hope into reality. The things that we long for, it is all the evidence required to prove, I love that, to prove what is still unseen. You see, vision makes possible that what we believe and conceive in our mind gets into our heart. Earlier on, Aaron and the worship team sang the song about the unseen. And the line of the song is that all my faith is in the unseen. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust you and believe. And now we're holding up a project, Speak to the Storm, so that we help people bring the rejoicing of tomorrow into today. So if we have faith in the unseen, we can rejoice today for what's not yet come. And so when we worship, why do we worship? We worship because we're actually bringing into our present reality our hope about what God is about to do. And so it's vital that we as God's people understand that we don't yet need everything to be in place before we can worship God. We don't yet need everything sorted because we can worship God and start to get excited about the future because of the scan, because of the ultrasound that's growing in us. My second point is this, which leads me to say that vision stirs our faith. When you're full of vision, your faith starts to get stirred up. And that's why Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says this, that we should call things that are not as though they were. You see, faith starts a celebration in the middle of a funeral party. Faith starts celebrating even in a time of mourning because God is so real. And even in our pain of not being able to have children, the minute that scan was there, oh my goodness, Charlotte began to talk about decorating and painting and curtains and couches. And I'm like, when will this ever end? I needed faith because of all of the new things that entered into my life. When you have faith and your vision starts to get stirred, God sends you things. Baby prams. Has anyone tried to assemble a baby pram? Has anyone tried to put a baby pram into a bus or into a train and found the bus driver waiting for you impatiently because you can't figure out how to get it disconnected? I mean, new things start to get into your life and begin to fill your mind because faith is being stirred. Let me show you a picture. This is an ultrasound scan of one of the things we're believing for. This is our transformation center. It's not exactly what it looks like, but it's an ultrasound scan of what it may become. And of course, you may think this is just a building. But faith that's stirred in my heart is not about the glass and the bricks and the steelwork. The faith that stirred in my heart is for the drug addicts who can get healed and off their addictions and start moving forward because that's what a building will do. It'll provide a place where we can help people be restored, find job skills, help disciple people. So faith begins to get stirred because now we have a vision, a scan on the inside. Now, Hebrews 11:1, just to stay in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. A different Bible version says this. This is the Message version. It says that faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life living. And it's a handle on what we cannot see. You see, we need a handle to get to our future. We've got to hang on to the ultrasound scan. We've got to hang on to that ultrasound scan, church, right now of that transformation. Why do we need a handle on it? Because we're talking to planning about what we want to build, Bradford Planning. And it's been a long, drawn-out process that we're almost 2 years into. We have to hold on to the image, the ultrasound scan by faith, and stay in prayer. And this week, we're taking another step as we meet with local counselors in the city, talking about how Bradford can change because of what Jesus is doing right here at Life Church. And so we're holding on to that scan of our future, and oh, we're gonna need it. You're gonna need to hold on to this when you start the new business and you've put everything into your new business and the profit margin hasn't come in yet, you're going to need faith to hang on to that vision that God gave you. You're going to need faith when you're facing your GCSEs and you're facing your exams. You're going to need faith to trust that God has given you the intellect. And if you put the work in, God will help you get the results. And even bigger than that, God is in control of your future anyway. So you can hang on to that. You're going to need faith when you raise children in this generation today. You're going to need faith when you go to your job tomorrow morning. You're going to need a handle to hang on to say, no, I believe God is going to do great things through our life. You're going to need that handle. That's what faith does. I believe with all my heart, God wants to stir faith in all of us. And here's the truth. The stronger the vision of God that we have, as God being our Father, as God being our provider, the stronger that image becomes, the bigger our handles grow. The stronger you understand that God is Jehovah Jireh, that He is providing everything that we need for life and godliness, that unseen scan that we carry in our hearts of who God our Father is, gives us the confidence to step out again and try new things. And I see that as a church today, the Miracle in Motion offering is us stirring our faith and stepping out again to believe that God is who He said He is. And that is why we have that blueprint in our soul, that blueprint of what we're becoming, believe, belong, become, who we're becoming. That's our blueprint. And when the storms come, don't freak out. Every storm has a finishing point. Every storm won't last forever. And so if you stir faith in your heart, I've learned this through my life, let's just outlast the storm. Let's just keep standing when the storm keeps raging, because after the storm comes a beautiful clear day. And when the beautiful clear day comes, we're still going to be alive, but we're further on, further forward, marching together as God's team and God's house. You see, the Bible is full of people who held on, and it's also full of people who let go. One of the saddest things in the Bible is when a generation lets go. Because if a generation lets go of God's promises, the next two generations after will fail. One of the saddest things I've seen is when people let go of what they could and should hold on to. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 says this: let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Go on, just look at the person next to you and remind them. Bind the word of God around your neck. Let it be a tablet in your heart. Don't let go. I believe that someone needed to hear that. I love filling my life and my vision and my ultrasound scans with people who have overcome. And one of the people I find amazing is Helen Keller. Helen Keller, who was through an illness she had as a little girl, became what they call, what doctors would say, deaf blind. And although she was deaf and blind, she had a vision in her heart. She had a vision that began to emerge. And even though she was deaf and blind, she learned how to touch lip read. Touch lip read. She learned how to read Braille and finger spelling. And Helen Keller did not listen to people around her that said, she couldn't listen. She couldn't, there was something, she couldn't even hear what they said. And they would try to communicate to her, and finally they would get through to Helen, and they would say, you cannot help people because you're in need. That's a lie from the devil. Her reply to that was, we can, and I will help others, even when I am in need myself. And others came and they said to her, you cannot use your life for a greater cause because you're imperfect, flawed. And her reply was, I can help others even as I am imperfect. Other people said, Helen, you cannot do that. There aren't enough opportunities for people like you. And she said, we're going to create opportunities that will break through for people like me. Helen Keller went on to be the first deaf-blind person to graduate from university. She went on to be the first deafblind person to write 12 books. She was an author. She traveled the world telling her story, which makes what she said even more significant. She said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." Let that sink in. Let it sink in. May we be those that are stirred to always have vision. My third point is this. Vision brings us together. What one of us could achieve is not nearly as much as what all of us could achieve. If we all work together, we'll be able to do so much more. And generosity and giving does exactly that. Our team is going to come up and they're going to help us worship and help us praise, because we're going to approach our giving in just a moment. And as they come, you see, I wanted to mention that vision brings us together, but it also, unless we have a clear vision, it can mean that we will focus on the differences that we have instead of who Jesus is. And that's why I believe today is one of the greatest celebrations of who God is. I believe that because Jesus chose disciples. He chose them and they were brought together. He chose a carpenter. He chose a fisherman. He chose a corrupt tax collector. He chose all kinds of people that you and I probably wouldn't choose. We certainly wouldn't have chose Judas. But even today, all these years later, he's chosen us to be alive at this time, at this moment, to be together, to do something that has never been done before, to go where we've never gone before, and to be able to do that. But there's one person today who's not here that I desperately miss, which is my wife, Charlotte. Charlotte is speaking today, later on today, at a great friend of ours, Chad Veach's church in Zoe Church in Los Angeles. But she wanted to communicate from her heart, so we're going to join her now as she brings her heart and her message to you right now. Come on, Charlotte, talk to us.
Hey, beautiful church family. Well, I am so sad that I am not with you in person this morning. But I know Steve has just shared over the last couple of weeks about the power of vision. And you know that we're about to do something that is the outworking of vision. Vision brings us together. This giving of our offering is because we've captured a glimpse together of what we can do. We've captured a glimpse together of how if we live a little more devoted, we can change more lives. And I want to thank you. I know Steve's already said his thanks, but I want to add mine, because we are so thankful to have a church family that get it. And today your giving says it. It's not just your faith, but it's a deed that goes with your faith. So as you get ready to get out of your seats and come forward and put your offering in that bucket, just know that we're in this together, and what we're about to do is going to change so many lives. So for all the lives that we don't yet know about, I'm already rejoicing in the testimony of what our giving's going to do. We love you. You're awesome. And I'm going to hand back to Steve now, but just wanted to say, let's do this, church.
Oh, good. You see, vision brings us together, Charlotte and I, so together in this concept, because when that baby began to grow that would later turn into my beautiful daughter, Hope Cherish, when that baby began to grow, before the baby even came out, Charlotte had excessive vomiting. She would vomit 30 to 40 times a day. Many of you know our story. It was the pain of that vomiting on the inside that challenged the doctors to say, your baby may not be healthy. And we had to hold on to the scan, the ultrasound scan. But more importantly, we had to take a scan of God's word. And we had to hold on to God's word and say, even when the doctor's reports go wrong, even when the financial accounting goes wrong, church, when you give, you have to trust God. And as you put your seed into the ground, let's all trust God together. I'll never forget a morning on the way to church. We pulled over right here on Wapping Road, because Charlotte's constant companion in that season was a big sick bucket, like a crock pot pan. I didn't cook very much in those days, so it was all right then. Pulled this big old pan out, and she would get a little bit down the road and say, Steve, I feel sick, and I'd have to pull over, and she'd start vomiting inside the bucket. It was a horrible season, but what I wanted to say about that was it was the vision of building a church that would be the hands and feet of Jesus that made us wake up, go through the pain, and say, God, this sickness will pass. It was that dream of creating a church. Imagine a church that could be love in action. Love in action to our city, to our region, to our nation, even to our world. Imagine if we start to believe God that we are who He calls us to be by faith. That today when we give all together as His house, as His people, to put that love in action. And so the last thing I wanted to say is thank you, church. Thank you for being such a great family, community, my family, our people. That today we're planting, Shaul and I are planting our seed in the same soil that you're planting it in, and trusting that God would grow, immeasurably grow in this environment, in this beautiful house, that God would let this seed grow so that many more could find life, many more can find hope to make a difference today in our generation. Can you say amen to that, church? Amen.
Jesus be glory. possible for you. Heaven is open over us. Miracles happen in your name. Jesus, be glorified again. Now as we lift our hands in faith, let miracles happen.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. As we finish our time together, we pray that He has impacted your heart. God is with you, so go on, have a great week ahead.